Well, this looks like it's going to be a very interesting day. It is the, let me keep it the way it is, the 25th. What is it, the 25th or the 26th of, it's the 26th of July, 2018, in the Lucy Coleman studio here in Los Angeles, California, on God's great planet, Earth. The unfortunate thing is that we're living on borrowed time. And whenever I talk like that, I know I sound like a lunatic. I've discovered a man on YouTube, of all places, that is speaking very loud and very clear about this situation. He is a biologist, and let me pause this and read this to you. He says, do you think elites and high-ranking military officials of the world are aware of the threat of runaway climate change and preparing to weather the coming storm? In other words, the rich people of this world, do you think that they're going to watch all this stuff happen and then watch their families and their loved ones succumb to the tragedies that set before them? No, they aren't. This scientist is making sense to me. And this biologist, what he's doing is he is predicting how civilization is going to collapse very soon. And, I know you can find a lot of things on YouTube, but if you go to my Facebook page, John Coleman, and look at the first article there, and listen to it, especially you millennials. I want you to listen to it. This makes sense to me. I taught this years ago in eschatology, and I thought that I'd play the whole thing. Now, this is weird, because while I was playing it here and trying to put it up here in the studio, there was a power outage just enough to kill it. And so I'm starting it all over again, and because I want to put this out there for everybody to hear it. And he's a true biologist. When you go to the YouTube clip, you'll find his name. Let me see, what's his name? I'm trying to find his name. Well, let's just listen to it. I'm sure you'll appreciate it.
The sociopaths pulling the strings of the empire have known what I know for a long time. And I've known since 2002. They've known longer than that.
Guy McPherson
was a murderer.
Is his name? His name is.
Sociopaths pulling the strings of empire have known.
Guy McPherson. Let me pause this.
And I've known since 2002.
Okay.
They've known longer than that.
Now let me. His name is Guy McPherson. He's a scientist, a biologist, a professor emeritus at the University of Arizona. That's who's speaking. Now I'll let it continue to play.
Their choice was to murder us and to commit suicide themselves at the planetary level. Are they prepared? Are they preparing? I suspect the Norwegian seed vault. I suspect bug out places such as Zuckerberg's Kauai, such as Peter Thiel's farm in New Zealand, such as James Cameron buying abundant property in New Zealand. I suspect all of those are about extending the run or at least making the final days calm for a relatively few people. I think that's all rooted in that, yes, because they've known. They've known for a long time. I've known for a long time. And their choice has been, given that we're in the midst of abrupt, irreversible climate change, their choice has been to go to a place, to find a place that they can secure that will be relatively peaceful during their dying days. Will it extend their run? Do they want to extend their run? Maybe. I suspect they're more interested in extending their privilege. And that's what they've been doing so far, is extending the set of living arrangements that allows for their privilege. How long can we keep this game going? Your guess is as good as mine, but I bet it's rooted in the collapse of civilization due to the ability to grow grains rather than any financial event. So they, the high-ranking military officers, the members of the CIA, the sociopaths in the Strings of Empire, the government officials, they, whoever you want the they to be, they've known, they know, they're preparing for their final days. I suggest you do the same, whatever that means for you. I'm occasionally asked, when does collapse occur? Well, it's already occurring for a lot of people around the planet. What does it look like over the course of the next 10 years? We don't have 10 years as a species. It's before the last individual on the planet dies. And how will I know? What are the signs that collapse is around the corner for me? Well, I think collapse is already underway. A lot of people, economic collapse, climate collapse, are both already underway. There are many people around the planet, the Middle East and Northern Africa, in island states in the South Pacific, that have already lost their habitat. People have been living in these areas for generations, generations of an entire family, and the people are fleeing because they're no longer able to live as they once did, growing the kinds of crops that they once did. So they have become climate change refugees. What does it look like over the next few years? Well, I suspect either this September or sometime next summer. So here we are in early April of 2018. I suspect that sometime this, as early as this summer and as late as next summer, we will have a collapse of civilization induced by the inability to grow, store, and distribute grains at scale. Already, we're seeing events around the world that are disrupting the ability to grow grains at large scale. And this could happen very, very quickly. If, for example, we lose the ice in the Arctic in July of this year, July of 2018, then it could be that we have a large-scale collapse of the corn crop by the end of this summer. And that alone would cause the inability to put food on the shelves of the grocery stores. I mean, the United States is basically corn nation. Without the corn, without the high fructose corn syrup that's found in probably 90% or more of the foods at this point, it's difficult for me to imagine that Walmart and the other big box grocery stores will be filled with a bunch of food. How long after that happens before the whole house of cards comes down? I used to think that it would be a financial collapse or an economic collapse rooted in the industrial economy that would cause the house of cards to come down, that people would actually wake up to the fact that the dollar bills they use are fiat currency and are only as meaningful as the confidence within them. But I've concluded that most people around the world are easily deluded, and they couldn't care less if the paper bills were just paper, were just ink on paper or not. So I suspect it will take some sort of large-scale event like the inability to grow food that triggers collapse of civilization, and it will be a climate-induced collapse. I think we're very near that point right now. I think the 2-degree C target promoted by a neoclassical economist so many years ago for climate change, I think that has a lot to do with the collapse of grain growing at large scale. And we're very close to that 2C above baseline number right now. It could happen literally any summer at this point, any spring and summer, as wheat and corn enter their terminal demise. Once that happens, because of the absence of global dimming, we will observe a very, very rapid global average increase in temperature, as in somewhere between 1 and up to about 3 degrees Celsius temperature increase within 6 weeks after the demise of industrial civilization. That's because of something called global dimming. At the same time, industrial activity is putting greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, which serve to warm the planet by holding the heat down. At the same time industrial civilization is doing that, industrial civilization is also putting particulates or aerosols, most notably sulfates, into the atmosphere. And those sulfates act as something of an umbrella that prevent incoming solar radiation, prevent incoming sunlight to get to the planet to heat it up, so that incoming radiation is bounced out before it hits the Earth and is allowed to be trapped by the greenhouse gases. Those are primarily composed of sulfates produced by burning, quote, low-quality coal. So the notion of clean coal, which is ridiculous to begin with, if we give up on poor-quality coal and switch to clean coal without much sulfur in it, then we're going to get rid of those sulfates, those aerosols, and the planet will heat up even faster than it already is. Once civilization collapses, in other words, the temperature of the planet heats up to about 3 degrees Celsius, according to the refereed journal literature. And I see no way for very complex life, very complex multicellular life, such as humans and other large animals, to survive a global average temperature increase of 1 degree Celsius, much less 3 degrees Celsius, in a 6-week period of time. Our habitat just vanishes so quickly. I don't think there will be a tree on the planet at 3 or 4 degrees above the 1750 baseline, not with the rapidity we're headed in that direction. So that's how it happens. That's how it all comes down. Within the next year or two, we lose habitat for our species. Then things get really interesting as there is a mad scramble, probably by the sociopaths pulling the strings of empire, to somehow cool the planet down. Does that mean nuclear war? It certainly wouldn't surprise me. And, of course, almost everybody living in cities or living near a nuclear power plant will die quickly as a result of a nuclear bomb striking or as a result of the nuclear power facility melting down catastrophically in an uncontrolled manner. And ionizing radiation is not something you want to be soaking in when the source is mere miles from your home. So I think there will be stair steps along the way. I suspect that the collapse of civilization will mean the inability to deliver water into people's homes. Everybody living in a city or reliant upon a municipal water supply will die of dehydration shortly after the water stops coming through the taps. Some people will survive that, obviously. Nearly 50% of the people on the planet don't depend upon industrial civilization directly through water delivery. So that means 40 or 45% of the people on the planet will survive that first wave, but then the sulfates fall out of the air and the temperature warms up catastrophically. So after the first few months, or maybe even a few years, industrial civilization will be in the midst of collapsing, and people will persist off stored food in their bunkers and their root cellars. They won't be able to grow food anymore because that all vanishes as a result of the absence of global dimming and the rapid heating of the planet that occurs after that. You just can't grow food in soils that are depleted of nutrients, depleted of water, depleted of mycorrhizae, depleted of all the living plant that is required to support us and every other species that we occupy this planet with. So it could be that a year or two after the House of Cards comes down, we still have people living in bunkers quite miserably, I would imagine, and maybe even will persist for another half a dozen years in a set of living conditions that I personally could not even imagine wanting to survive through. Producing all of your own water, recycling all of your own water. You can't grow the food anymore, so it's just stored food that you're living on, and the planet around you is effectively dead. Soaking in ionizing radiation, plant life, animal life destroyed by abrupt climate change, an extinction rate that is occurring even faster than what we're currently observing, with up to 200 species a day, maybe more, going extinct already. And then because of the absence of global dimming, because of the ionizing radiation triggered by all the nuclear power facilities melting down, by perhaps nuclear weapons being used to attempt to cool the planet, all that paints a very dystopian future for us and other life on Earth. Difficult for me to imagine. In fact, I predict that there won't be a human being on the planet in 2026, less than 8 years from now. Because...
Wow. 2026, he says. And you know what? I'm 74. Man, that's in my lifetime he's talking about. So if this scientist is true and all of his calculated facts are there, I think we need to pay attention to it. Let's continue to listen. 2026. Ah.
All these events have culminated in an imperfect catastrophic storm that will take out our species and nearly every other species on the planet over a very short period of time. Ultimately, I suspect, will lead to a lifeless Earth, or at the very least, at the very best, a planet that is reduced to microbes and fungi and bacteria and a few other small things for several million years after 2026. This is not a future that I want to happen. I don't want to die, just like I don't want every other individual of the species Homo sapiens to go extinct. I don't want to drive to extinction the 200 species we're driving to extinction every day. But that's not under my control. And I've come to grips with that on a personal level. I would encourage others to do the same. I think we don't have long.
He said, although I am an agnostic, I have many viewers who are religious that make predictions that coincide with Christian eschatology in time.
As theory. A rationalist.
Listen
as
to
a
it.
Scientist.
He's not a
of
Christian.
Of course, when I'm conducting my research, when I'm pursuing professional activities, I'm an agnostic. There are some questions that science is ill-suited to answer. And questions about paranormal or supernatural phenomena are included in that mix. So that my predictions and the predictions of others at this point are coinciding with Christian eschatology is, in my mind, irrelevant. I mean, that you could argue that, as reported in the Gospels, Jesus predicted the destruction of the entire planet Earth within the lifetime of his followers. So you could argue that we've had these sorts of dire predictions for a couple thousand years, and they haven't come to pass when rooted in Christianity. What I'm talking about is rooted in reality, in rationalism, in the scientific understanding of what's going on the planet right now. That's a completely different thing than pursuing the people with the signs who say the end is nigh. My sign, by the way, says the end is being completely ignored. But that's just a sign, too.
What can we as individuals do? How can we prepare? That's the question. Comes on the screen.
Final words. What can we do to stop or slow down what's coming? We as individuals can do nothing. We're in the midst of abrupt, irreversible climate change. That doesn't mean slow, and that doesn't mean we can turn it around. That means we're in the midst of abrupt, irreversible climate change. There's nothing we can do as individuals. In fact, if the whole house of cards comes down, the abruptness and the irreversibility are accelerated. And yet, civilization itself is a heat engine that is already overheating the planet. There's nothing we can do to slow or stop what's coming. All we can do is personal. All we can do is individual. All we can do is gather the people around us we love and act as if we're in our final days, weeks, months. Because we are. because we are. So we can take that to heart and we can live accordingly. We can live with urgency or not. We can live as if someday means that we will be here for a very long time or not. There's an advertisement in the Belize City Airport. It says there are 7 days in the week. Someday is not one of them. Let's live like that. Let's live like we're dying, because we are. Let's live with urgency, because the situation is urgent. Let's live as if we're pursuing excellence in a culture of mediocrity, as if we're pursuing love in a culture of indifference, because all of those things matter. They don't matter in terms of turning the ship around. The notion of love being able to turn around a system that has been rooted in indifference for my entire life and yours too and generations back is ludicrous. We are not going to be able to, quote, fix this.
Now, that's where I come in. Because you're not going to fix the reversal of global warming or anything like that, but I believe that love supersedes all. I've seen it work in my own life. He may be giving a dismal picture of the society that he's living in and how he is getting ready to confront it. I believe that as we come nearer and nearer to this end, that the only thing that is tangible to work with it in a rational way is love.
All we can do is what we can do as individuals, as individuals within a tribe. Let's act like the tribe matters. Let's act as if our own lives matter and treat ourselves with respect and treat others with respect. At the edge of extinction, only love remains.
That's it. Now, what y'all think? Now, you can find this. You go to YouTube, Biologist Predicts How Human Civilization Collapses. They have a few other ones here on this list. Eating Once a Day, Longevity, and Why I Now Eat One Meal a Day. Now, that one is interesting. I haven't listened to it. You know, I told you guys that I'm down to one meal a day. I get up. I have maybe a cup of coffee, some fruit, something like that, some juices and stuff like that. But no, I like all I've eaten today, and it's 1:22 in the afternoon. All I've eaten was a couple of pieces of toast and some. I don't need to watch this. Like, oh, see, I'm 74 years old. And I have food in my stomach, nourishing food, good food, because I don't need that much energy because I'm not doing that much. As a matter of fact, I just called the college and said, hey, I'd love to come back to work with you guys, boom, boom, boom. Maybe when I go back to work, I'll be able to eat more like that. But, no. And I don't listen to my doctor. An interesting conversation I had with a friend of mine yesterday, and he was saying how he went to his hospital for some treatment. Next thing you know, they kept him over 24 hours, wouldn't let him go, tried to feed him all that nasty hospital food, and he told them, don't bring this crap to me, I'm not going to eat it. And then he said, if you don't bring me my discharge papers, I'll get up and leave in 30 minutes. And they did. They were just keeping him to stack some money. And then when he left the hospital, they had 20 prescriptions for him. He said, I'm not going to fill these things. Pharmaceutical industry is getting rich off stupid black people that they try to tell you, you need our medicine to stay well. No, you don't. You need to look into some ways that we lived thousands of years ago without this mess. We are the children of slaves. And if you're Hispanic and if you're white, you are too. And if you're not of the elite like that professor was talking about, you're living in this country and things are going to get rough. And the inevitable question is, what are you going to do? Will I lose my faith in God? No. I was talking with Pastor Reamer today, Zerich's, and he said someone asked him, well, what is God saying? And he said, God isn't saying anything else to people on this planet. He's already said it in his words through the mouth of prophets. Just listen to some of my old work. That's God speaking. That's the way God spoke. As a matter of fact, I think it's about the right time to do this. I'm gonna go to my library and I'm gonna try to get a piece of work and put it in for those of you that ask the question, is God still hearing? And we put out these pleas to him. I hope I can find some right here on the spur of the moment, because it's my contention to tell you that God ain't listening to what any of us are saying, especially in America. Especially in America. The divine maker of the universe would be losing his mind to do that. It's interesting. I have a series of sermon here called Calculated Calvary, taken from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 61, and then I got 64 through 70. Let me see what else I got here. And then this third one is 64 through 70. And I think that it would be, and I preached a series back in March and April of 1994. And I know that a lot of you that listen to me don't believe in biblical Christianity. I forget what I said, but I recall, since I preached a series, and it was a three-part series, and it appears to be of such, and I want to start at the right one at the beginning of the series, and I think I have it in my hand here. I think I'll set it up to play it, and it'll give you some encouragement about why I feel that when this end comes, that I'll be okay, because I have a faith that I believe in personally that I can prove. All right, I'm just going to start this thing playing. I know it's going to be loud and everything like that, so I'll turn it down. And my battery seems to be strong. Yeah, that's Tony Hill on the drums. He played the drums. Let's see what Mark Ramsey says about this, because he was my producer of the tape ministry. A calculated Calvary. What is he saying about what happened on that cross that Jesus died on under Roman rule? Listen.
Hello and welcome to the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church. We pray that your heart is open to the Word as you join us for today's worship service. My name is Mark Ramsey. Our theme, A Calculated Calvary, from the text Luke 22, verses 64 through 70. Well, this concludes our look at A Calculated Calvary. We cannot finalize this series without looking closely at Jesus during that special time when he sacrificed his life for the sins of the world. The crucial question that the Lord was asked was nothing less than what we are asked by those who need a living witness of what it means to be called by the name of Jesus. Are you the Son of God? Are you a believer? Like it or not, the way we answer this question identifies the reality of our Christian witness. As you listen to the message today, think about that cross. Consider the pain that Jesus had to go through. Jesus took on the sins of the world. If it was a matter of holding something up, can you imagine what that must have weighed? Open your hearts and your Bibles to Luke 22.
Good point, Mark.
64 through 70. Here's Pastor John.
And you know, I'm going to look at that again because I have to look at the dates. He said, this concludes. That's what Mark said. And this was done on 4-3. And I got one in my hand here saying, okay, 4-3. So I better start at this one because I didn't look at the dates. I have three cassette sermons. I haven't listened to this since I spoke it in 1994. And to think that I'm playing things on my website that's talking about the end of the human age is amazing.